You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fardis.
Maddie Soto, 13-year-old little girl in a story that's all too familiar, sexually abused and found dead shortly thereafter. 2 years of sexual abuse at the hands of mom's live-in boyfriend, Stefan Stearns. Jen Soto making her rounds on local media while her daughter was missing. Interviews that are now very much coming back into the spotlight because, well, they don't seem to add up. Timelines don't make sense. Claims of who was where when don't make any sort of sense. And how about that lack of emotion from a mother that has a daughter that she has no idea where she is at? Could be dead, could be taken, could be off in the woods living. As Maddie Soto told her friends, I want to go live in the woods when I turn 13. Not a sign of someone who's necessarily living a happy life at home. Joining me to discuss, former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Fardis. This is something where I'm going to guess if you're Jen Soto, who as of this recording, I'm not sure by the time someone's watching this, has not been charged with anything. But I would imagine it might be time to lawyer up.
Yeah, it seems like the walls might be closing in on her. And like you said, you watch those interviews, right? And her demeanor, her affect is just unusual. It's nothing like we would expect a grieving mother who doesn't know where her child is. There's no crying that I saw. There's no, elevated emotional response. It's kind of just blah, and it sort of looks a little guilty. And so I think a lot of people are suspicious of the mother right now.
I mean, how likely is it that Jen Soto had no idea that this abuse was going on right under her nose in her own house? We're talking a small apartment here. We're talking this boyfriend who's there, been living with them. A lot of things can be covert and secret. You know, predators are good at that. That's why they're predators. But I don't know, 2 years of this and have no clue. What are the odds?
Yeah, no, it's kind of a red flag, Tony. And you know, like you said, we're not talking about necessarily one specific instance. Yeah. At least according to the government, it appears that this was kind of a pattern of conduct, multiple incidents over the course of 2 years. So could a person, you know, be blind to one thing that happened in their house? Sure. But, you know, when we start talking 2, 3, 4, and then, you know, years of a pattern of conduct, I just can't see how the mother would have no idea. Madeline never said anything to her. The mother never walked in, never saw the boyfriend's phone and something suspicious on there. It's just hard to believe.
Yeah. What do you think investigators are thinking, you know, as of this moment? And I should preface this, we're recording this on Thursday the 7th, because this is such an evolving case. So by the time, like I said, someone sees this, she may already be arrested or, I don't know, exonerated. Maybe she's got a story. Knowing and seeing her timeline that makes no sense. We dropped her off. He dropped her off. I talked to her here. I didn't talk to her there. She was seen on camera. The authorities say she was never seen on camera. There's just a lot that does not add up. I mean, can this be written off or explained to someone who is also a victim of the abuse of Stefan Stearns and she's so jumbled in the mind that she's making no sense? Or is this someone who's like trying to spin a tale and she's just not good at spinning a tale?
You know, I, of course, can't say for sure, but she did not present to me as someone who had been victimized or coerced or anything like that. In fact, she seemed pretty darn suspicious. And I've got to imagine investigators are taking every little bit of detail that she gave in that interview and trying to confirm or deny it. And I think there are some things that, like you said, are just so logically inconsistent. They both can't be true. It couldn't be the case that both the parents dropped Madeline off and then also just the boyfriend dropped her off. And then police are now saying it doesn't look like anyone dropped Madeline off at school. And so I think they're going to pick apart Jennifer's interviews and really probably go after her based on those inconsistencies and the inferences drawn therefrom.
Is this a common thing where when people have committed a crime and they know it's, you know, it's getting attention, it's starting to become high profile and they're starting to be looked at that, look, we better not just sit here and be quiet. If we tell a story, that's going to help us out. I'm sure as a defense attorney, your advice would be shut up. But how often is it where people's, you know, ego or their thinking gets the best of them, and this is what you see.
Oh gosh, it happens all the time. You know, I think personally of the Scott Peterson case and other cases where, you know, there is social pressure, of course.
Yeah.
You know, the community wants to hear from the parents.
Sure.
And you know, ask them questions. What happened? Where is this poor girl? And so there's pressure to talk. But yeah, from a legal perspective, she absolutely should not have given these interviews. And in fact, they may be the nail in the coffin for her criminal case.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.